reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on them. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven, groaned, and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf hear and the dumb speak." The Gospel of the Lord. There are many of my favorite one-line compliments about Jesus in the Gospel. I love when he was called derisively the friend of sinners. Love when he called himself the good shepherd. But probably today is my favorite. Omnia bene facit in Latin. He has done all things well. When we think about Jesus, please remember that phrase. Omnia bene facit. He has done all things well. Well, Adam and Eve didn't think so, as we see in today's first reading. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had created the world. Through the Word of God, Jesus, all things had been made. But the devil was able to get Eve to think that God was a liar. "Did God really tell you not to eat any of the trees from any of the trees in the garden?" Eve didn't listen to the Lord accurately. Obedience comes from that word to listen intently, almost to put your ear up against the door and eavesdrop. Ob audire. She didn't listen very attentively, as you can tell with her answer. God had said, "You can eat of any tree, but don't eat of that tree in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On that day you eat it, you shall surely die." If you're paying close attention, what did she say in today's gospel? "Yes, he said we couldn't eat of that, nor could we even touch it." She was already putting false words into God's mouth. She was already vulnerable. She was a sitting duck. And then the devil comes and says, "God's a liar. He knows that you will certainly not die. He knows that the moment you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like gods and you'll know what's good or evil." And then she began to desire. So we talked about yesterday, Jesus described in the gospel that nothing that comes from the outside can make us impure. Not even an apple from the tree of good and evil. But what can make us impure, what can rupture our covenant with God, is the desire for that forbidden fruit. The woman saw that it was good for food, pleasing to the eyes. She thought that by it she'd be able to gain wisdom. And so she took it and ate it, and then gave it to Adam, and he did the same. What are the immediate consequences? They begin hiding. Hiding their most vulnerable parts from each other. Before, they didn't even notice. They were totally transparent to each other, and they had nothing to fear. Now, as soon as they had sinned, they began to fear themselves and their vulnerability versus each other. Why else would they cover up their body parts? They were afraid of what might harm those parts, the most sensitive parts of the human body. And then they started to hide themselves even from God. Think about how ludicrous that is. It's kind of like a 2-year-old trying to hide from a parent in a home or in a room. We know where they are. But we see tomorrow what occurs. God says, "Where are you?" And they hide. And then they start blaming somebody else. Eve blames the serpent. Adam blames Eve. No one really wants to take responsibility. They're essentially hiding from themselves. So then God tells them the consequences, that yes, they will die. They'll be dying in this world through the pain, through those first three commandments God had given them about increase and multiply. That would now be painful. Subduing the earth, having dominion over the animals, that would also be toilsome, full of sweat on the brow. But then gave the good news. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at your heel." That enmity was fulfilled in Our Lady and her son who stomped on the devil's head. Today on this Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, we celebrate that reality. 152 years ago, 18 times she appeared to another 14-year-old girl. She was 14 when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to her, when Bernadette was an unappreciated, illiterate 14-year-old girl speaking this weird language called Occitan. Mary appeared to her in a garbage dump in the cave of Massabielle. She was initially attracted. She saw the woman praying. She dropped and started to pray the rosary herself, but the woman didn't speak. Eventually, in the third apparition, she said, "Tell the priest to build a chapel here and arrange pilgrimages." But everybody was going crazy. Eventually, just like Jesus did something weird in today's gospel, there are a lot of ways that Jesus could have cured this deaf mute in the gospel. But he does it in a way we would consider gross today. He spits on the man's tongue. Let me ask you this question. Would you take Jesus' divine saliva in your mouth if it would cure you? We've got to overcome some of those things. For Bernadette, there was a similar parallel. Our Lady pointed and said, "Wash yourself." And she thought that she was supposed to go to the Gave River behind her. And Our Lady stopped her and said, "Right there." She could see just a little bit of water on the ground. So she began to dig. There was a little bit more water there, but it was all dirty. And in the midst of a whole bunch of skeptics, she started to pick up that muddy water and wash her face. And everybody thought she was a lunatic. But then as they were mocking her, as she was walking back into Lourdes, somebody turned around and saw that that stream that was coming from the ground was gradually becoming limpid. And the first miracle happened to a lame man that very day who put his feet in that flowing water. Ultimately, Our Lady would, in her Immaculate Conception, as she revealed herself to Bernadette, who didn't have any clue what those words meant, that was the beginning of the conquering of the devil who had conquered us in the Garden of Eden. And there's a link between Mary, who revealed herself as the Immaculate Conception, and that flowing stream. That flowing stream is meant to be a symbol for us and a poignant reminder of the healing waters of our own baptism. There have been about 60,000 miracles in Lourdes in the last 152 years. Far more miracles have happened in the womb of the church, which is the baptismal font. Far greater miracles as well. The healing of body parts is relatively easy for God. The healing of a soul, as St. John Vianney used to say, is a greater deed than the creation of the entire world. And when Mary went there, when she was speaking to Bernadette, she asked her to pray specifically, to do penance and pray specifically for sinners, for the conversion of sinners. And that brings us back to today's first reading. The devil gets us by the same way. God tells us we will die if we commit certain sins. Certain sins are mortal. St. John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, told us that very plainly in the fifth chapter of his first letter. But the devil comes and insinuates to us, did God really tell you you'll die if you voluntarily miss Mass on Sunday? Does God really tell you you'll die if you just say, oh my God? Does God really tell you you'll perish if you fail to honor your father and mother? Does God really tell you that you will die if you hate somebody in your heart? Does God really tell you you'll die for loving someone and sleeping with someone or wanting to sleep with someone to whom you're not married in one flesh and lusting? Does God really tell you that if you steal that, you're going to go to hell forever? That if you just tell a little white lie because you're embarrassed to tell the truth, that you'll go to hell? That if you covet what your neighbor has, you'll go to hell? No, he's just lying to you. He's just trying to scare you away so that you won't be like him. He wants to keep you subjugated. He wants to keep you a slave. He wants to keep you the runt of the family. You might be a son or daughter, but you're the one mistake he made. I'm the one who's telling you the truth. Don't believe God. Don't believe the church he founded. Don't believe the saints. Don't believe your pastors who echo the words of the Holy Father. Believe Dr. Ruth. Believe Oprah. Believe the president. Believe anybody but God. And we have all gotten fat by consuming that fruit. Mary comes to us today, showing us another way. She, in her entire existence, never once consumed the fruit of sin. Was she attracted to it, perhaps? Yep, she could have been. Was she tempted? Clearly she was tempted. If Jesus was tempted, she would have been tempted. But she never said yes. She never consented to that sin. She never, for a minute of her life, bought the devil's lies. And so she's a great sign of hope for us. She came into our world like she has always done in any private revelation to remind us of what we have forgotten that her son himself had taught us in the public revelation of the church. And what Bernadette had forgotten was the same thing that the three shepherd children in Fatima and the whole world had forgotten. The need to convert from sin and truly believe in her son. Since that time where she appeared in the grotto of Masabiel, so many miracles have occurred, like the miracle in today's gospel when Jesus said, Ephphatha, and opened the man's ears and loosened his tongue. On the day of our baptism, when those limpid waters restored us to our eternal inheritance, the priest said those very words as he made the sign of the cross in both of our ears and touched our tongue with his thumb and said, the Lord Jesus Christ made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he open your ears to receive his word and your lips to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. The whole purpose why we have ears is to hear God's word. The whole purpose we have a tongue is to proclaim his faith. After this man in the gospel and those who witnessed the miracle were told by Jesus not to tell anyone so that people wouldn't be coming to him as a doctor and that type of Messiah, to just solve their medical issues rather than solve their spiritual issues and get them to heaven. They couldn't stop it. Even though they trusted him, they weren't trying to be disobedient, but they were exploding with the desire to just tell that he had done all things well. Omnia bene feci. He makes the deaf hear, makes the mute speak, and he does so much more than that. He raises the dead. He expels demons. and he feeds us with his own body and blood hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. This is his greatest act of love of all. Jesus hasn't told us, don't tell anybody about this. In fact, he has told us, go to the whole world and proclaim this good news. May Our Lady intercede for us to free us from sin, to trust fully in God's promises, and through, with, and in Jesus, from this point forward, do all things well, just like he did, which means doing all things in him.